Thank you, Paulina. This is the chair. I'm going to put myself on the stack after Sharon again. Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay.
Mr.
Well,
Chair, can I respond? Paulina,
I think Chris should correct it. Yes, please. And then,
go ahead, Chris.
But I do want to go after Chris. Okay.
Go ahead, okay. Yes.
So, first of all, the percentages that are listed are not a percentage of indirect revenue. They're a percentage of the total cost of the national office. So Fred was right. The percentage per station on a revenue basis is the same across the board. It's basically 15%. So that's the number I would like to use, R. Paul, as a amendment, I guess, to Duane's motion. There is one other thing I want to quickly mention, and that's that I think we're thinking of the P&O as if it were some sort of a variable cost that we can negotiate, just like we're trying to do our individual station budgets, but it's not. P&O is actually also a fixed cost. So the stations that are paying for central services are absorbing that fixed cost. And the stations that are not paying central services right now are not absorbing that fixed cost. And I understand that they want to continue to do so. But once again, I think this is something that the PNB should consider, you know, whether we want to subsidize these stations in this particular way, or alternatively, whether these individual stations should get a better handle on their fixed cost, if possible. And if it's not, then we are committing ourselves to an endless subsidy for individual stations. But I don't think it has to be that way, right? I mean, these stations have been gainful in the past. So it's just a matter of getting them gainful again. And I'm not a programming guy, so I can't tell you how to do that, but there's got to be a way. Anyway, it's beyond the scope of this proposal. But I would challenge the notion that we're talking about, reallocating one fixed cost for another here. It's a little bit odd, this discussion, but, I basically want to just say to everybody that it is basically about a 15% proposal in terms of revenues. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, has an amendment to the amendment just been made or not at this time?
Well, I would like to present it that way.
I'm asking the chair to tell me what's on the floor right now.
My apologies.
Well, Chris did not say it was an amendment, so I guess we should allow him to go ahead and do that if he wishes.
Yeah, I would like to amend Duane's motion to substitute 15% for 12%.
Okay, that is the limit of amendments that we can have.
Let me read it so we don't argue about it later. The amendment is to strike 12% and replace it with 15%.
Correct.
Hello.
Go ahead, Sharon. Are you done,
Paul? Okay. Yes.
Let me see if Paul was done. You're done. Okay, Sharon.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, I wanted to correct something that was said earlier. It is not part of the mission of Pacifica to be in major media markets. That is not part of the mission of Pacifica. It is true that there are some stations in major media markets, but that is not actually part of the mission of Pacifica. So I wanted to correct that error. And I wanted to agree with what Chris was just saying about central services is not really a discretionary expense, and it shouldn't be considered one as if something that people sort of have an option to pay or not. It's like rent or any other kind of really fixed cost. It's part of the cost of doing business within the Pacifica Foundation. To be a station is to pay into central services. That's how the bylaws were set up. That's how it's organized. And to sort of maybe put a little additional point on what Chris was saying, for example, NEDA, which is one of the costs of the Central Services, NETAR accountants, and our HR services. They're a cost out of the national office, and, you know, some of the stations use their accounting services far more than KPFA does, for example. So the consideration that this national office expense is like discretionary, is it really just doesn't hold water. It is actually the cost of doing business within Pacifica. I also agree with, really want to emphasize what Chris was saying about subsidizing stations. I mean, we've just seen ongoing deficit spending for many, 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 many years. And there, you know, we always hear about how it's going to be corrected, but it doesn't seem to be corrected. And I like the concept of putting up to a vote whether we're going to continue subsidizing stations rather than just letting it sort of persist as the status quo. And I also want to offer a solution potentially, which is not a repeater station. That is not what I have said in the past. What I have said in the past is that what was done at WBAI, where programming from other stations was played on WBAI, that's not a repeater station. That's just using the signal to emphasize and expand Pacifica by using programming, you know, the good programming from the various stations. That is a way to cut expenses at stations while maintaining signals in the area, allowing these stations to become self-sufficient, which is what they should, is part of the mission statement, that they should be self-sustaining, that that's part of this, what we are trying to do here within Pacifica, and to allow these stations to gain back their audience. I believe James even said there's declining audience within WBAI, and that is a problem that is not being addressed, and that, you know, trying to pretend that, you know, that deficit spending is an, that having a deficit is a reason not to pay central services, when instead what should be looked at is how to increase the audience. And I've been within Pacifica, you know, for going on 5 years now, and I've heard the same thing for many, many years, and I have not seen any real change. So let me just see if there was anything else I wanted to say. Oh, yeah, just in terms of the expenses, which I know we were talking about, James, I think, was talking about the expenses that certain stations have. Well, first, I really don't think that's a good way to go down for the reasons I said before. But just to make the point, KPFA did pay. The national office was housed in the building, the Nakafon building, as it's called, and it was in there for many, many years, and basically KPFA was subsidizing the rent of the national office for all those years and allowing the national office to be there. So KPFA has had its fair share of fixed expenses also. And, of course, as we all know, the Nakapon building was taken and sold for the benefit of Pacifica and that to the detriment, I guess I would say, of the assets of KPFA. So those are the final comments I wanted to make, and I'm done.
Thank you, Sharon.
Alex on the staff.
I got you, Alex. Anybody else? Okay, this is the chair. I put myself on the stack. It's I'm going to speak now. I want to quickly deal with the question of declining audience. I was talking about declining audience at WBI over many years. And in fact, WBI's audience was starting to climb back in October of 2019 when we were taken off the air. And then our audience and our fundraising and our sustaining members plunged. And we've been fighting our way back from that. And we are climbing again. We had a good month in December. We're having a good month so far in January. So I understand Sharon feels she's heard this before, but if you look at the numbers, drill down into the numbers, you'll see that it's a fact. I also want to mention that WBAI, if we were going to go with the old formula, which was 16%, that's the current formula we're operating under. If we go to a 15%, and remember, WBAI, in consideration and the wisdom of the board in the past, they cut WBAI's central services in half because of the fixed costs of the tower and the rent in New York. Very expensive. Now, we were in expensive digs at that time on Wall Street, and also we were in the Empire State Building. We've since moved to Four Times Square, which is a much less expensive tower, but expensive nonetheless. And we've moved to Brooklyn, which is much less expensive than Wall Street, but still expensive nonetheless. And with our expenses, with our revenue situation, it's still an extreme burden for us to come up with that. So if we go from the 8% that we were paying, if we went up to 16% again, like everybody else, if we were equal with everybody else again, that would be 100% increase in our central services over what we're not able to pay now. And it's not that we're not able to pay it at all. We do pay some, but we can't pay all of what we pay now. And we're talking here about increasing it 100%. If we go from 8 to 12%, we're increasing WBAI central services percentage by 75%. So it's kind of fantasy budgeting, fantasy planning. We're creating a schedule that's going to create massive deficits, and that has been used in the past. Somebody said the goons aren't coming to get you. Well, I differ with that. I'm not going to say the goons came to WBAI, but certainly people came to WBAI and shut it down. They came with armed guards. They shut us down. And that was a very traumatic experience that we still are recovering from. And I want to ask Anita now, and Anita, if you don't want to speak in a general way, I appreciate that. But I want to ask you, Anita, I know that you stripped out the legal costs from the national office, which at one time was a large part of our expenses. I also know we have the opportunity to move certain functions to NEDA, where we might get actually more accurate results and in a more timely way if we continue to do it right. And so at a lower cost, we get better results, and it takes the politics out of the accounting. And it would certainly be more difficult for certain stations to miscategorize their income or have bank accounts that nobody knew about. And it would provide a lot more transparency in the network. But what I want to ask Anita now is, what is the actual cost? Is the $1.2 million figure accurate that Chris is using? And I realize, so the question is, does that strip out all legal costs? And is that, I guess that's including the interest payments. Could you just break down for me quickly what that the national budget need is?
Well, I mean, the number that Chris has come up with, if I remember correctly, allows for a executive director of the foundation, a paid salary, if you will, because we took it out when we were trying to quite frankly, balance the budget, if you will. And then we did take the majority of the fees for attorneys out of that budget also.
So,
go ahead.
If I may, and I know you may not have a number with you, but what do you have a rough estimate of what the number would be with some of those expenses stripped out? And are there any other expenses that you could think of that we might be able to strip out of there?
I don't recall, but as you're talking, if you give me a moment, I'll see if I can get my hands on the budget. That's really what I need.
I will certainly do that. And I want to ask you, if while you're doing that, very quickly, if you could possibly work up a figure for us in terms of what it would cost if NEDA took over the business management portion of all of the station's budgets and consolidated it in one place, as I described, with transparency and taking, you know, what I characterize as politics out of it. If you could make that a project to come up with a number for what that would cost us, or how, and also how much it would save us for what we're paying at the other stations right now. In other words, that's one of these economies of scale that I think we could achieve by consolidating, for example, our healthcare, our phone services, our insurances, and possibly our business services, and some of our vendors as well, other vendors. So while you're looking, I have Alex next, and who was that?
Dwayne.
Chris Corey.
Folina would like to be on the stack as well.
Nancy has a question.
Dwayne? Who came after Alex, please?
Chris Corey.
Dwayne.
Chris. Okay, yeah, I think, Chris, you had asked prior, hadn't you? Or are you just asking now?
I'm just asking now, so I'll...
Okay, yeah, I heard Dwayne first. Let's go to Dwayne first, and then who was next, Paulina or Chris? It was Paulina, I guess.
Do I get recognized?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Alex, you're next. I'm just getting another... I'm getting these other stacks. I'm getting to see other people on the stack.
I think I just came in slightly ahead of Dwayne, actually, but you can defer to him if you want an opinion on that.
Okay, so we'll go to Alex, Dwayne, Chris, and Paulina. Anybody else?
Nancy has a question.
Nancy, why don't you ask your question?
Oh, it's why would we be taking legal services out of the cost of the expenses of the national office? Who would pay those then? I don't understand why they'd be taken out.
Are you asking me or are you asking Anita?
I guess Anita. Yeah.
There, in the budget, there is an amount for expenses that the national office would pick up. But I think it was last year or the year before, there was an extraordinary amount of expenses, attorney costs, and I want to say it was to the tune of about $600,000.
Oh, I see. Okay. Got it. It's like we have extraordinary income. This is like an extraordinary expense. Okay. You can.
Thank you.
But still, how would we pay that?
Well, we would try to avoid that. That's part of what our attorney has done in negotiating certain things to try to avoid legal expenses. I think that's the strategy. Is it not, Anita?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, Dwayne has a request for information.
Go ahead, Dwayne. Dwayne?
I just want to be clear on the process here. A main motion was put forth. A amendment was put forth. But we seem to be discussing the main amendment mostly. And I've heard no discussion on the amendment. So what is the order?
Well, right now the discussion has been open, and we're not really in the order of the amendments. And I imagine it may, we will get there as we come to them. But I wanted to at least give everybody a chance to speak generally before we got into those specifics.
Well, with all due respect, we're at 10 o'clock now. The intent at least was to have a benchmark of 9:45. So my concern is that unless we get some order here, we can be doing this all night. And let you go back to the stack.
All right. I'll just respond by saying, as you'll recall, I know it was the intent of some people on the committee to have a time certain or a shorter time, and I expressed a concern about that, that it might take us longer, and then we voted to leave it open-ended. So, but I do take your point about getting some order in the conversation. So I'm going to exhaust the stack, and then we can go to discussing. I think we have two amendments to the main motion now. So, Alex, you're next.
Thank you. First, I just want to say that I strongly differ with Ms. Adams' remarks about the mission of Pacifica. If the mission of Pacifica is not to be in the major media markets, in other words, if it's to be basically sidelined and mostly irrelevant, then I don't know what Pacifica is doing, frankly. We must be talking about another organization, and I guess maybe we are. Second, when I brought up the question of including fixed costs into your formula, that is not taken to mean that somehow I am implying that some stations have to be subsidized forever. That does not follow. Nor does it follow that those stations who have extra fixed costs cannot increase their revenue. I never said anything of the sort, but that seems to be what some people are taking that to mean. It's really quite simple. If you have a formula that, in the analogy to taxes is very apt here. If you have a flat tax, you're applying the same formula equally to all individuals. But then that has the underlying assumption that all those individuals are equal. But they're not all equal. Some of those individuals are better able to meet that flat rate tax than others. Some of them may have disabilities, may be the victims of racial discrimination. There's all sorts of issues that come up. So if you're talking about fairness, it's a fallacy to think that fairness can be found and by treating everyone equally when you have a situation that's not equal. You have to adjust for the inequalities, both in the larger society in terms of social and political issues, and in financial matters. If you're not running a flat out hotel business, we're not in the hotel business. We don't shut down the branch of our hotel in Dallas. If we're in the hotel business, we do, but that's not our business. We have a different kind of business. We're trying to be relevant to the major, we're trying to become a communicator in the culture and politics of this country. And if we're not doing that, then I don't know what the hell we're doing, frankly. Thank you.
Okay, Dwayne, you're up.
Chairman Steinberg's point, his analogy of if one suffers racial discrimination, certainly with these stations, I do believe it is such, but that's a self-inflicted wound as opposed to something that could be and should be controlled internally and don't even have to exist if people just change their behavior. But on the other hand, I wanted to read it to the record, certainly not for the members of this committee, but for those who are listening. Who don't take the time to read our bylaws, but yet read our mission. And our mission is pretty explicit, and one of the members did get the point half right. So let me read it to the record. To establish a foundation, organized and operated for exclusively educational purposes, no part of net revenues or net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. It further goes on to say, to establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. And I think you need to underline for truth and accuracy, nearly as possible. To be self-sustaining. And that should be the goal, as some have stated, but it is not articulated as a exact in our bylaws. Now, skip down to read also, and I encourage others to just read the whole of it. It's only four or five paragraphs, but it is in radio broadcasting to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and hold on just a moment. In radio operations, to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energy of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, and to promote and 8 other creative activities, which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. In broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to the lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all such groups, and underline, and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation, to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonism. And there are one last paragraph, but I won't care to read it. But I just wanted to read that into the record for those who are listening to know that the Pacificus mission is all-encompassing. And certainly if you do an assessment of the foundation for the last 2 years, 6 years, 10 years, you would know that it is gravely short on accomplishing almost all of those demands or goals or aspirations. And so I only wanted to remind us that we do have a very strong vision in our mission. But the question is, are we going to continue to bicker about whether or not we should have a foundation that sustains the whole, or whether or not we should have a foundation that allows the strong to remain strong and the weak to die? And I believe this is what this central services formula is either going to do or not.
Thank you, Duane. Paulina.
Mr. Chair,
Risa for the stack.
Yes, Anita. You'll be next. And then, wait a minute. We were going to go back to regular order, but Anita, you were still responding to my question. Let me just ask, other than Teresa, is there anybody else that wants to be on the stack?
James, I believe I was next on the stack. Go ahead to Anita if you want. Of course,
I'm going to put Teresa on if I don't hear anybody else wanting to be on, so I don't want to leave
Sharon.
Her out.
Sharon wants to be on the stack also. Sharon,
you okay? Anybody else?
Mr. Chair, you recognize Paulina, right? Or you will recognize me shortly, right? I recognize you,
Paulina, but I'm looking at my notes and I do see that Chris was before you. Is that okay with
That's
you?
Fine. Not a problem.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Paulina. Okay, so now we're ready for Chris.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Regarding the fixed costs discussion, I believe that 5 years ago, when the Central Services Formula was revised to give WBAI a 7% reduction, the tower and office rent combined was something in the neighborhood of $50,000 a month, $60,000 a month. And it's what, $18,500, somewhere in that neighborhood. So
no,
during that 5 years.
No, that's wrong.
Okay, what's right? You look it up and let me know. I'll make my point. All I'm saying is that you've had a corresponding reduction in fixed costs over that period as well that we're not talking about. It'd be interesting to compare what that is to, you know, in other words, to add those numbers together, add your fixed costs 5 years ago to what the central services were then, which is right there in the table, $20,743.49 a month. Or wait, I'm sorry, excuse me, $16,890 a month. And then do the same thing with today's formula. I would also point out that 5 years ago, the general formula was 15%, not 16%. Also, I would finally point out that the central services cost to WBA under the proposal I submitted is actually lower than it was last year. It's not doubled. It's doubled on a percentage basis, but the revenue has fallen. And your costs have fallen as well. I'm not really sure that it actually changes that much in the overall picture. But I think it's disingenuous to look at one very small portion of that picture. And we should all the costs into consideration if you want to play, if you want to go that route and look at that. I would also point out that, you know, stations have fixed costs. A lot of them do. If you're controlled by a collective bargaining agreement, it's very difficult to get out of those agreements without considerable cost. So labor, I understand, is generally treated as a variable cost. I'm not sure how variable it is when you have a CBA. So, you know, it's interesting to pick on certain items like overhead. I get that, you know, and it does make sense to me. It registers with me. I feel it. But I think all stations have some fixed costs that they would want to back out. And I don't think I'm not sure that it gets us anywhere productive to go down that road. That's the point I want to reiterate. So thank you.
Okay, Paulina.
Thank you. So, Chris, on further studying, upon the studying your proposal a bit more, is based on backing out windfall income out of revenue, right, and getting a percentage for each station based on based on that, right? Dividing revenue minus windfall income by revenue, and that's the percentage that would be the percentage of the revenue of each station, right? The station would be contributing, if I'm not mistaken. Now, what the percentages you are giving in the document are based on calculations that are in the spreadsheet. They look like percentages as if those were, they're the percentage that, as you said, right, they would be the how much each station would be contributing to the total of Central Services
of the PNO budget.
And you also say in the next phrase, and you also say in the next paragraph that it would actually put us over budget, right? We would be getting more than what is budgeted by the PNO. Is that correct?
That's correct. It would build a buffer.
Yeah, right. So, but can you give us the percentages revenue versus revenue minus windfall for each station?
Yes. So 14.73%.
14.73. I heard 1 point. Yeah, but that's for each station. It's going to be the same.
Correct. It's exactly the same.
Why would that be the same? Is every station getting the same amount of windfall?
In this particular look-back period, yes. They're all getting zero.
If it's zero, why would it... I see.
You asked if they were the same. That's the answer to that is yes.
So for that look-back period, every station is getting zero windfall. So the percentages basically just illustrate how much each station is contributing to the P&L budget. Is that correct?
On the spreadsheet, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, I'll stop here for now.
Yeah, and I apologize if that was confusing. I actually put in a bottom line on the spreadsheet, and I'll redistribute it in a moment. So I put that.
Yeah, I'm not looking at the spreadsheet. Yeah, I'm looking at the narrative. I'm looking at the narrative, and and the narrative is not clear in that sense. I think the narrative is important for folks to understand what's going on.
I agree. I should make it less confusing. So I totally agree with that. Several people have been confused. I will fix that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm not the only one. I'm glad. Okay. One more thing. Then basically, it would be So what you would be doing every month is figuring out what the revenue of each station is, what the windfall income is, back out the windfall, divide that difference by the revenue. That would be the percentage of then take that that percentage of the from the revenue, and that's what your central services would be. Is that right?
Actually, what Dwayne proposed is a little bit more less complicated, and I'm actually
right.
acceding to that part of his proposal, and
oh,
and that would be
okay.
basically to back out the windfall
mm-hmm.
for the revenue, and then multiply that by whatever the percentage is do it on a revenue basis rather than on a cost basis. I understand that that's a little less confusing, probably a lot less confusing than what I did. And so I'm just about to send that back around in a minute here. I actually like that idea just for communicating it to the PNB alone, because they're going to go absolutely nuts looking at this thing just like you did. So I appreciate the
feedback. That's right. That's what I'm thinking too. And people will ask, well, why just windfall, right? Well, like Alex Steinberg just asked, well, why not, back out, other overheads? That's different. Why not have some kind of formula for overhead, right? That would be very different. Of course, windfall income is income, not expenses. So I would say let's uncomplicate this complicated thing. It doesn't have to be this complicated.
Sure.
Thank you.
Chair, can I answer that question? Because I think it's a really important point.
All right, but I'm going to call it there because we need to go to Anita
okay.
and Teresa and Sharon.
Okay. I'll make it quick, I promise. So the answer to that question is that overhead is an operating cost, a cost of running the station, whereas windfall income is extraordinary. So it's the difference between extraordinary and ordinary. That's why I would opt to exclude it. Just as, okay, I want to just add this right now because I think it's important. The reserve is set aside to meet extraordinary expenses. In other words, if a station has a lawsuit that comes to it, that lawsuit is not going to be defended by the station. It's going to be defended by the network. And if the network doesn't have a reserve of funds to defend that lawsuit, it's not going to get paid. So that's what the reserve is there for, is to meet extraordinary expenses. In other words, I'm treating the PNO as if it's a slush fund for extraordinary events, as well as for fixed costs for the entire network. So that's kind of the mm-hmm. basic framework that I'm trying to get across here through this proposal. And I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to say that. So thank you.
Sure. That actually makes sense. Thank you.
Okay. Are you done, Polina?
Yes. Thank you for indulging.
Thank you. Let's go to Anita now.
Can't hear you, Anita.
Anita, are you muted?
Can you hear me? No, I'm
yes.
not. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we hear you. Yes.
Okay, good. I just wanted the opportunity to respond to your question. The major expenses within the P&O budget are professional fees, legal, accounting, of course, that's an ETA, all the audit fees for the organization, the insurance expense, and then that is the DNO for the whole group, and that's about sitting at $200,000, and the interest bank charges $200,000, which is also for the FJC loan of
$200,000. Thank you. And what did that – do you have a – I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was through.
Do you have a number that adds up to?
Those that I mentioned are $500,000 plus the ETA contract of $330,000. Those
so
are the
instead
largest.
Instead of $1.2 million, the total we would need, just one second, Dwayne, the total we would be looking at for the national office budget is $830,000. Is
no.
that right?
No, there's other expenses plus payroll. So I was just giving you the major line items, if you will.
How much less, or is it close to the $1.2 million that Chris suggested?
It's $1,222,000. So there's a difference of about $218,000.
I'm sorry, Chris named the number $1.2 million as the national office budget.
That's not correct. It's 1.44.
Oh, what was it?
It's 120 per month.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And what was the total, Chris?
It's 1.44, and Anita gave you 1.22 there. So she's saying that there's a 0.22 buffer built in.
Yes.
Which is actually about what I'm thinking is appropriate.
Yes.
And I can explain that if we get into it, but you know, this is kind of off in the weeds.
I understand. Okay. Anything else you want to say? Just 1 second. I want to ask Anita if she wants to say anything else.
No, I was through.
Okay. Did I hear someone with a request?
This is Teresa. Can you hear me?
I can. You're next. Was that your question?
No, I just wanted to ask. You said our major expenses in the national office are legal, accounting, audit, bank charges, insurance, and you said fees. So what are the fees?
Me,
is that
Chair.
Like, are you talking about BMI, ASCAP, CSAC? Is that what you're talking about? Or what are the fees?
Duane, 1 second, please. Duane, do you have a question or a point of order?
Well, you had me stand down to get back with me, but go ahead and let Teresa ask a question.
I think it was, I said fees, it was audit fees.
Audit. Okay. Does the national office pay BMI, ASCAP, and CSAC? Just wondered.
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, Duane.
Okay. I wanted to get Anita to verify the cost of the DNO.
We have not. What we have in the budget is $200,000, which is a slightly higher premium than it was last year, because we were notified that there was going to be an increase. So last year was $172,688.
So you can verify that we actually had DNO for a full year last year. Or was it a partial year?
It must have been a partial year, sir. But I can
I don't believe he authorized it until around June. But what I'm trying to drill down is how much did we pay for DNO in fiscal 20? Fiscal 19? Yeah, fiscal 20.
Well, I'm looking at 20. That's what I'm saying, $172,000. I just don't have if that's half a year or... I would imagine, because I do remember when it was approved.
And you're saying that it's projected, or at least there should have been a renewal notice that we're operating from. And
correct.
That is, how much is that?
$200,000 was the budget.
Okay. And the other point I want to make to those who are dilly-dallying around this $1.4 million figure. One should understand that that is a budget operating under the fact that there are not enough personnel in the national office as it was 2 or 3 or 4 years ago to get some things done. So when you consider this assessment you're going to make, you should actually budget in full-time or part-time equivalents and maybe even contractors that we need in order to have a fully operating national office. And for those of you who don't know, it's pretty much a skeleton crew, and almost all of the work is expected to be performed by the IED, who happens to work for free, and that's not going to happen too much longer. So let's just keep in mind that the five stations, and I just read to you the mission, and if we all agree on the mission, it's up to the five stations to fund it. And the mission generally is managed by the national office, not each individual station. And I close by saying, I still hear this
this underlying tribalism, where we, what we do, what we have, and we have to continue to support others, and it's that mindset that I think does not belie a foundation and a family. And I'm not expecting those who hold those views to change, but I would hope there is a majority that continues to sing the song that it is a we the foundation and not me a station.
Okay, Dwayne, I allowed you to ask a question of Anita, and I think you took a good opportunity to get a full, robust comment in there.
well, make a comment. And
I wasn't sure the speech was in order, but I didn't want to say that exactly.
Well, I did.
Okay. All right. So now we go to Teresa.
Well, it's very difficult for me to collect my thoughts around this, but this is my concern. You know, we have gone, in the last 20 years, we have gone through such a transition. We have five very independent stations, and they're pulling in often. They want to be independent. But when they have problems, they have relied upon the national office to help them. And figuring out this percentage, what goes to the national office, is really challenging for that reason, because when our stations take financial plunges for whatever reasons, whether we have an incompetent general manager or whether we, for some reason, we lose CPB funding or we have huge legal expenses because we've had, you know, lawsuits for like harassment or sexual discrimination or whatever, tower expenses that are balloon expenses that we've, contracts that we've gotten into, there's this tremendous roller coaster ride or this plunge, and I'm not sure that the foundation has given the national office permission to really help. We're not acting quickly enough, because it seems like when stations have problems, we just cannot rein it in quick enough. And so everybody is holding onto the rails and kind of screaming in horror because some of these stations are having such serious problems. I would like to just say that by tweaking this little percentage to the national office, we could fix that, but I think until we figure out a way that our national board and our national office can really figure out problems and help these stations nip them in the bud quickly, tweaking this percentage is not going to help. Now, maybe I just have a lot to learn, but that to me is one of the major concerns that I have. So thanks for listening.
Thank you, Teresa. Now Sharon.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Well, I do like to focus on the numbers, but since the mission has been brought up, the mission of Pacifica was brought up, I will just state again that there is nothing in the Pacifica mission about being in a major media market, and if the chair of the PMB believes that should be there, well, I guess he could potentially try to get the mission changed, but that's not part of the mission. Now, what is part of the mission is being self-sustaining, that the facilities be as self-sustaining as possible. And this part of the mission seems to be ignored or just discounted. And then we hear about, you know, being a family and supporting each other. And that is not what the mission is not that we're a family. The mission is that each facility be as self-sustaining as possible. And I also want to say that Pacifica is not a family. It's a nonprofit corporation. It has a bottom line. It has to make expenses. That's just what it is. it could be analogized to a hotel that is running at a loss. There are different ways to handle losses and expenses, but obviously KPFA to, you know, carry the cost of all of the network at the same time that we have to hear subtle comments about streamlining the accounting procedures at NETA and how that might save expenses at, quote, some stations that have business managers. It's actually insulting, you know, that you take the station that's actually running in the black and has been providing money to Pacifica as a whole, large amounts of money, the sale of the NACA Fund building, other money that has been given, you know, over years, and then to be just constantly told that somehow we have this attitude or something. I don't even want to go there. I just want to say the mission is that the facilities be self-sustaining. I really appreciate what Teresa said. I think that we have to just take care of business at the stations. We have to make the stations be functional. As Chris has said in another call, the reason to look at the numbers is not to attack stations. It's to find how to support them, to find which stations need the support and to fix them. And this, yeah, it does get into all this parochial stuff, but, you know, from my perspective, it's like shooting the goose that lays the golden egg. That's how it feels from this end. Because just one last point, when I look at the central services formulas and all the different ways that Chris set them up, KPFA ended up paying more, and I didn't even comment on that at all until now. And other stations were paying less under the formula, and yet we still hear those stations complaining that they should have to pay zero or that they should have to pay even less and potentially zero. It's just not a way to run a functional nonprofit corporation. And that's my comment.
Okay. I'm going to make two statements, and then I think we'll go to a regular order and start working on the motion, the main motion, and the amendments and substitute that we have. I just want to say that KPFK, at least as one station that is suffering at this time, will get a reduction in their central services when we get the new formula, just based on their declined income. So there will be some relief for KPFK in the fact that their income has declined, and that's going to reduce their central services. I also want to say, by the same token, we keep hearing that WBAI central services are going down. They're going down by $400 from $16,800 to $16,400, thereabouts, $16,490. So, and then finally, when we talk about extraordinary expenses, this relates back to my concern that we reduce these the formula by, we put a reduction in the formula for the extraordinary expense of rent and tower rent and office and studio rent in Washington, D.C. and New York, two very expensive markets. And if there's anybody, and I realize this is not the correct use of the word, but if anybody thinks that it's not an extraordinary rent, there's not an extraordinary cost to pay rent in New York City, you should try it. It's a very extraordinary cost. All right. That being said, R. Paul, can you give us a rehash of where we are with the amendments and where we go first?
All right. There is a main motion on the floor, and there is an amendment that is proposed as a substitute motion, and there has been an amendment to that. And that's where we are at this moment. That's actually the limit of where we can be at this moment.
Correct. So let's go. R. Paul, would you please read the amendment to the substitute so we can start there? That's the correct place to start.
Okay, one second. All right, going back. Okay, so I should read the primary amendment, which is a substitute motion first, and then I'll read the amendment to it. the primary amendment is that the central services formula be based on 12% total revenue of station calculated quarterly. All revenue is to be included in the calculations. The amendment is to strike 12% and replace it with 15%.
Okay. Now I think we should discuss this. Can we, does anybody have any discussion?
Chris Corey.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, since I was the one who offered that amendment, I think we have to decide whether we want to be able to deal with extraordinary events. And extraordinary events would also include inability to pay central services, by the way, because if there are stations that are unable to pay central services, and we've seen that I don't know, we should look at how it breaks down on a percentage basis. But a significant amount of stations at this juncture are unable to pay them or unable to pay them regularly. And so that's putting a pinch on the ability of the national office just to meet its overhead, its normal operating expenses. So the 15% is actually designed to create a little bit of a buffer so that when we run into extraordinary circumstances, such as we find ourselves in today and such as we found ourselves in 2019, unfortunately, that we are able to meet those situations without creating problem with meeting payroll either at the national office or not being able to meet any problem that arises at individual stations. Thank you.
Anyone else? Hearing no one, I'm going to give you another moment. Anybody else have a comment? I think our poll, then we have to go to a vote.
Okay. Why don't you ask if there's objection?
All right. Is there any objection? Good idea. Thank you. Hearing none, we're going to move now to the substitute. And since we're now down to only one amendment, I'm going to offer a motion to add another amendment. And my motion will be to deduct the rent for the tower and the rent for the office and studio spaces at WPFW and WBAI, and the PRA expense for the air conditioning of the PRA archives at KPFK from the formula from the revenue side of the formula. By which we reach the total amounts to take the percentage from. That wasn't really well articulated. Let me try that
point
again.
Point of order.
Go ahead, Chris.
Gary, I'm there as the prep.
I'm just wondering whether it's possible to jump onto an amended motion in the particular manner that you're speaking. I understand that there's an amendment outstanding, but I thought the rule was that there could only be two amendments to a motion that's on the floor. So I just like clarification on that point to see whether we can actually do what you're proposing.
Well, I think once you deal with one amendment, then it opens up the possibility of another amendment.
I don't believe that's true. So that's the question that I'm asking.
No, I don't believe
that's
true either.
Well,
no, sir.
Mr. Chair, would you like to ask me?
Well, I'd like someone to ask for, I'm hearing comments. I hear a question from our Paul, so I assume you're asking for the stack. Our Paul, go ahead.
Well, okay, yeah. You can only have two amendments, one a primary amendment and a secondary amendment on the floor at the time. Once the secondary amendment, that's the amendment to the amendment, is gotten rid of, then the primary amendment is open to a further amendment. And you can keep on going that way ad infinitum. So, yeah, there is now a primary amendment, which is a substitute motion, which can have some other connotations, but we won't get into that just now. But, yeah, you can make an amendment to it depending on the content of the amendment.